Well, there we are. That's Dreamer. It's by Chris James. It's off of his new album, which is called Chris James, just in case you forget what his name is. And Chris joins me on the line now. Chris, hi.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Ah, it's great to talk to you as well. Great to talk. Now, for those who don't know, you started back in the day in a boy band called The Scheme. You've had a solo career for some time now. Tell us a bit about your journey. Are you sort of this overnight sensation that's taken 10 years to get there?
Absolutely, yeah, and it really does take 10 years. So I'm from Liverpool originally. I started, even in school, I was always pushed into kind of the musical singer because I'd be the only one going, I'll sing, you know. So from school, it'd be like singing. And then obviously secondary school, it was quite funny because everyone would say, like, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a fireman. And I'd be like, I'm going to be a singer. And so it's quite funny because I see friends from school now and they're like, we always knew you were going to be a singer because it was, I'd never changed, you know. A lot of my friends, like, year upon year, they're going to do this or this, and it always changes. So I kind of finished the whole school, went to music and drama school, and then it kind of got found by a manager. I got found by originally the guy that did Blue and Atomic Kitten, so a guy called Hugh Goldsmith. And he got me in my first record deal. So that was a kind of a 50s influenced band with Decca Records, which is a very, very...
Blimey, yes.
Yeah, huge label. And, you know, it's one of those things where we got 6 months in and they kind of said, we don't know what we're doing here. You're all fired. And it was like, oh, great. Back to knock, you know, on my mum's door. Mom, I'm back. And she's like, oh, God, again. So did that. And then I found, I kind of did another band and that never worked. And I kind of thought, you know, I've had enough of this. My dad tells me to get a real job. I'm going to go and work for a bank. So I went and worked for a bank. And then I got approached online because obviously, when you're a kind of part-time musician, you always have stuff online. So I think it might have been MySpace at the time. And a lady messaged me and said, look, we like your look, we like your sound. Can you come to London? I was like, I'm selling insurance for Barclays. Yeah, I'm going to London. So going to London. And that was basically it. You know, I got in a little bit of a project that never worked. And then I met the guy that basically put my band together, a guy called Don Pickering, and he was working with a guy called Wayne Hector, who basically wrote all the songs for One Direction. I mean, a huge songwriter, Westlife. And so when you get that opportunity to go, one of the world's best songwriters and a label that can afford to create this band. So I kind of said, called up the bank and said, look, guys, I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to come back. I'll work 2 weeks and I've got to move to London. So they were very gracious and said, well, we know you're an artist, so off you go. And so that was it. So I got in the band. It was called The Scheme. It was actually already a form band and they were quite well known in New Zealand. But one of the guys went on The X Factor behind the label's back. And he got fired. I know, because he got seen on television. So he was fired. And so they said, we'd like you to kind of join and he was the front man. And so basically that's how it all happens. And so when the band reunited back in London, because one was from America, one was Australian, one was from America and one was from New Zealand. And unfortunately, the only one that wanted to come back to London was the American. So I then brought in one of my mates and the scheme was then formed and we were sent straight to Berlin. We recorded our first album there. We were there for 18 months. Berlin is the most amazing and strange place all at the same time.
I can imagine, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And what's most unbelievable is we don't really see, you know, you're in school and you're taught about the wars and all the history that you hear about. You don't see it here, but in Germany, you see it. I mean, the buildings are shrapnel wrecked and you go, wow, this really happened. Mm. You know, like, this is crazy. So, and of course, like, our manager was very, you know, he wasn't German, but he'd been in Germany most of his life. So the first thing, we get off the plane and he takes us to a concentration camp, you know, because he wanted us to, like, I know, I was like, are we really doing this? But I honestly, it was the most amazing experience because you do go, oh, my goodness, how did this happen? You know, like, so, but then that was like our little kickstart. And then I was living in a hostel with the band and. But from there, we did really well. We got a good record label in Germany and we kind of did brilliant. We went over to the US. We were together for 7 years. But unfortunately, you know, after 7 years, people just seem to not have the patience. And the pianist was always talking about, oh, we're, you know, we're getting old. We were like 23. I'm like, getting old? Are you joking? And he wanted a child. And so we were out on tour in America playing the most amazing venues. And then in that 3 month period, he'd met a young lady who was a reborn again Christian, and she basically converted him into Christianity, but reborn again. So he then wanted to no longer do music because he started to think it was a bit mad and satanic and stuff. It was a bit weird. Like, I was like, hang on, you're about to throw 7 years of our life away because of a girl who's took you to church, which is fine because I go to church, but I'm not about to throw my career out the window for this. And it was so strange because we got signed by a huge management company in LA, and it was like within a 3 month period, we were on tour, we were playing venues the night before Ed Sheeran, we were on American TV, where they put us with John Fields. John Fields is famous for, he's a Grammy Award winning record producer. He works out of the original Michael Jackson recording studio.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a huge deal. So he did like the Jonas Brothers, Miley Cyrus, Dem. I mean, the biggest American pop like artists. So we flew out there, we recorded half an album, and he loves the Beatles and so do I. So we got on instantly, and I was just cheeky and said, look, John, are you going to do our album? Because our manager said, if you can get John Field to commit to an album, you are golden in America. And he just was like, well, I tell you what, like, you're a bit cheeky, but come back in the new year and we'll finish your album. And I was like, well, that's just solidified as a number one hit in the US, you know? And I just got to the airport and Kyle was like, I'm not coming back. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you have to be joking, right? And he just stopped answering emails. And honestly, I lived with the guy for 7 years. I've never heard from him since that day. We got on the flight. Goodness. In the September, never heard from him. And so, of course, we got dropped. The whole thing was over. And, you know, I wrote a song called I'll Be Here because it was about, like, you know, when you go from, you know, red carpets and really believing that you're about to make it, you know, it's absolutely soul-destroying, you know. And I'd had so many no's, like most artists, and we got it right. We had the great manager, we had agent, we were, you know, we were with William Morris agents in America, we had the best management, we had the best label. It was so ironic because 7 years or 8 years before that, my mate worked for BA, and you'll also know I have very long answers to questions, but they're quite interesting. So this story is very
funny. You're right, you carry on, I'm enjoying this.
So about 8 years before, you know, Capitol Records in Los Angeles is the round record. It's one of the most famous, Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, all the big greats, and Elvis Presley. And so I remember my mate flew for BA. He said, do you want to come to Los Angeles for 3 days? I went, absolutely. So I got a bag full of my CDs. Well, it was tapes back those days. And I remember us circling around this record label because I always wanted to get my demo. And I said, you'll have to let me out because it was a one way. You just go around. And I said, let me out. I'll go and see if I can get in somewhere. And I'm circling around Capitol Records. And this record is like, get away. And I could see like there's loads of kids like crying because they want to get their CDs, and their mum and dad's like, please give our child a chance. And I got kicked away. I'm like, dude, I've flown 6,000 miles to get my CD, and can I just give my tape, please? He's like, no, they won't listen. They'll destroy it. So just get off the property. It's private property. So fast forward 7 years, we get signed by this big American management called Network. And the first record label, we got off the plane and he went, right, you've got an audition tomorrow for a label, I'm going to take you. And he never told us the name. And I remember him like driving up to this round property, and I'm like, oh my God. I was like, are we going in to Capitol Records? He went, yeah, you're meeting the guy that's basically just come in. He's signed Adele. He's signed Sam Smith. And I'm like, but I was here 8 years ago getting like nearly arrested outside for messing around. And here I am performing him, and we perform, and they just loved us. They were like, you guys, we had American, a British and a Spanish guy. That was the lineup, and they loved us. It was just the dream, you know, come true. But it's ironic that, you know, nearly a decade before, I was like a little teenage kid, like nearly crying outside. And then, you know, it's just crazy how life happens, because then 10 years later, I'm there, 8 years, And I'm performing, and they took us down to the original recording studios in the basement when Nat King Cole did all the great songs. And it's just like, this is so surreal. So, yeah. So that's how it all started, and that's how it all ended.
That's incredible, isn't it? And I mean, before we started, I said, you know, you're only young. And when I hear the lyrics and you've been you've been commended for your lyrics. As a singer-songwriter, when you talk and you write about all these... Well, actually, you've just explained in one. You've lived more in your life than most people live in their entire 80 years on this earth. You've really done your... You haven't just rocked up like your mate on The X Factor and gone straight to... You've actually done it the hard way. You've been to the School of Knocks.
Absolutely. I mean... You know, I'm very lucky that I'm from a family of like pub owners. So even from a young boy, I was always in bars and singing, meeting lots of different people, the ability to be able to speak to lots of different people. I've travelled the world just because my mates work for BA and I get cheap flights. So I've had loads of, I'm quite a romantic, so I wouldn't say I've had lots of relationships, but I've been in lots of situations where I thought it was love and it's never been, and more like lust and you become a bit infatuated with people. And so I've got a lot of things to talk about. And the best way for me is to put it into a song, you know, and then I collaborate with my best mate, who is also one of these guys where I've worked with him since I was a teenager. And it's like, it's like knocking on my mum's door when I get dropped from a record label. It's like, every time I get kicked out of a project, I come knocking on his door and go, can we write a new song? And he's like, oh, well, like, come in, you know? So it's nice to be able to, like, I think writers that write books are the same. They write it down. And I think it's such a good outlet to write a song when you've got an emotion. Like when the band ended, as I said, I wrote a song called I'll Be Here. And it was basically just about to say to someone, like, you know, when you're feeling like under weather or you feel bad, you know, let's talk about it and always know there's somebody going to be there for you. Whether you think that they think you're mad because you're talking about your mental health, talk about it. Because after I got dropped by the label and I'm back in my mum's house, it's like after 7 years of living in 5-star hotels, some 2-star, but quite a lot of
quite a lot of
yeah, you know, that it was just like, it's so sad. Like the industry, it's a love-hate relationship because they do give you this pedestal to become like super. And then overnight it can just disappear.
Yeah, just bat it away from you.
And that is, imagine having it's like a career for 10 years and then you go, okay, you're fired. And there's no explanation. They don't have to give you an explanation. No. It's just that bank account is closed and you've got to go home. See ya. And it's like, wow. So now I'm signed independently and it's so much nicer because don't get me wrong, the major model is amazing and we use them for distribution and I love them all. But that's now because I can understand it. But going into that as a teenager is... Even like on TV, I've got a lot of friends that are on television and they actually provide aftercare now for these TV shows where you sit down and they talk to you. But 10 years ago, that never existed. You were just kicked on the street.
But it took a few suicides for that to happen, didn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So the industry is a lot more caring now, which I'm so happy about because I also... It's made me very hard and strong. And it's a bit detrimental to me because I can be quite cutthroat as well. Like, oh, forget it then. But it's because I've come out of that model, which has strengthened me because it's almost like a defense mechanism now, you know, because it is a hard, people see glitz and glamour and woo, you're fit, you know, whatever, but it's very hard and you have to be very hard.
I can imagine. So then there you are then. So you've got this huge amount of life experience and you've got to distill that into your debut album.
Absolutely. So, and that's exactly what I did. You know, I had the thing was we had it. I got a new manager and he said, you know, albums are old hat. Let's just do single by single because you can really show your streaming. People will pay attention to one song instead of 10 all at once. So we did that for 6 songs and we released 6 great songs, in my opinion. And then a corona hit. So we'd kind of decided after the 6th song, we'd package it up as 10 with 4 new songs and put an album out. I had a tour. We were looking at going on tour with Anastasia, which was great because she's a, you know, someone I listened to growing up. My mother was over the moon. That voice, you know, she's great. But unfortunately, we all know what happened. So that album has actually been written for 3 years, but we kind of had to just shelf it. So I'm happy now because even though some of the songs have been out there for a year and a half, it's like, I'm happy that body work's gone out because now next year is all about touring. Thank goodness the touring industry.
You like that, do you? You love that idea of getting out on stage, yeah?
For me, live music is where it's at. I mean, it's look, Spotify is great. I love it. I love all of these streaming services. but there is no money in it anymore now. And we all have to pay our bills. So I like live because you actually are able to pay your bills, basically. And you're also giving the listener something a bit different because we have to produce the songs in such a way now to get it onto radio, which sometimes can be detrimental to the song. So I like live because it's how we write our songs. It's not how it's got to be commercially. So yeah, live's all about me. And it's also nice to meet people because when you're locked in a studio, there's not much feedback. And most people online are lovely, some not so. So when you go to a venue and they see you, oh my God, he can actually sing.
Yeah. Ain't that the thing nowadays? Yeah, ain't that the thing?
There ain't no auto-tune mics anymore. It's like, you got to be able to sing, you know?
It's amazing. I love it. I mean, it strikes me, you know, you've been, as you say, you know, you've been around 10 odd years in this game, but I can just hear your enthusiasm and your passion for it. And that's what you need, isn't it? You can't be, I want to be a pop star. So when you were saying back at school, I want to be a singer, you have to absolutely want to be a singer, don't you? And here you are doing it. It sounds amazing. I can't wait to see you on tour, UK and European tour, or what sort of things do you have in mind?
Well, you know, I've thankfully got a lovely agent involved a couple of months ago, and he started to throw. I've got a couple of festivals coming up. I think one of the big ones, Lee Stock Festival. There'll be lots of other ones. Everything's 6 months behind, as you know, when booking. But I'm potentially looking at, we've got James Arthur's on tour, James Morrison and Will Young. So, and also there was a talk of maybe Heather Small from M People, which I love because her tour, those four tours would be great for me. They're like all over the country. So I'll be able to get my little friends and family to come and some of my little followers, which is amazing. But I would love to. I think Will Young's a great fit. I think they all are. But the thing is, some of them will allow me to do 3 or 4 shows. Some will allow me to do 25 shows. So it probably, their announcements will probably be in January and February because they're advertising their own tours and then they quite cutely just put, oh, and also supporting, hopefully, Chris James. So I'll definitely let you know because I'd love if I'm in your area for you to pop down.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you get near to Cambridge or into East Anglia, that would be lovely. Absolutely. Chris, it's lovely to catch up with you and good luck with the album. We love the single as well. And just, I love somebody who kind of gets it, who knows how the system works. It's lovely to meet you and good luck with it all. Have a great Christmas if I don't speak to you before, and we'll see you on tour next year.
Thank you so much, and have a lovely, fabulous day.